DW Africa Link.
Kenya is doing something great in the battle against HIV/AIDS. The country is combining strong community health systems with cutting-edge digital tools to drive down new infections, improve treatment outcomes, and tackle stigma. So what challenges remain, and how can people living with a disease keep hope alive? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Overcoming disruption, transforming the AIDS response. That's the 2025 theme for World AIDS Day, which is marked every year on the 1st of December. The fight against AIDS is at a turning point. After decades of progress, disruptions threaten life-saving services, leaving many communities vulnerable. But hope remains in the resilience, innovation, and determination of those working to end AIDS. Kenya is considered a success story when compared to the UNAIDS 95-95-95 goals. Here's what that really means in Kenya. About 96% of people living with HIV in Kenya know their status. 97% of them are on antiretroviral treatment, and more than 94% of those receiving treatment have achieved viral suppression, meaning the virus is undetectable and cannot be transmitted. For more on this, let's bring in Norman Otieno, CEO of Hope Mega Center in Mombasa, Kenya. That's an organization that offers guidance and counseling to people living with HIV/AIDS. DW's Diana Wanyonyi is also with us, our correspondent in Kenya. Hello and welcome to Africa Link, both of you. Norman, you get to go first. So Kenya has enjoyed a lot of success in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Tell us more about what Kenya has been doing right.
Thank you, Eddie, for the question. What Kenya has been doing, the first thing was early adoption of test and treat policies, where anyone who tested positive for HIV is to be introduced to antiretroviral therapy. This is the ARVs immediately. And this one contributed to reduced viral loads for a big number of clients. Two, the rapid scale-up of community-based HIV testing, where home-based HIV testing was conducted. The self-testing kits, which help the partners to know their status away from the facilities. And this was encouraged because of the privacy and confidentiality. Another action that took place is door-to-door counseling and testing, where HIV testing counselors walk from door to door to conduct testing. And whoever tests positive is referred immediately to the nearest health facility so that he can be introduced to antiretroviral therapy or the ARVs. And the last point there is index testing, where a couple, when a couple tests positive, then the other partner is also tested, and the children as well. So the whole family, if it's a woman, then the whole family has to be subjected to HIV test because there might have been mother-to-child transmission. My third point is on data and digital health tools. That is the EMR system, which helps in tracking of viral load suppression and identification of loss to follow-up. Those who miss appointments and get lost on the way are traced and through the system, and they can be returned to treatment.
I am particularly fascinated by the digital health tools that you've started to touch on. I'm talking about SMS, WhatsApp reminders, clinic appointment trackers, and dedicated apps. I mean, How much have they contributed to the success story? How has that been?
Apart from the dates you get for a new visitor facility, you are given another appointment date. But in the way, you can forget. So these are the digital health tools remind you about a week before the appointment date that remember to go for your appointment on this date. And in the event that you forgot to take your treatment, medication, then there is another alert that comes to your phone that reminds you to take your medication.
You know, Diana, I'm going to come to you. It sounds like a lot of success Kenya has chalked. You've been reporting from the ground. What did World AIDS Day look like on the ground this year?
Thank you so much, Eddie. It was very successful. World AIDS Day yesterday, it was marked in Likoni, here in Mombasa, near the ferry, where there was a peaceful procession of people from Mombasa, from Likoni to Mahima Stadium, where it was celebrated. And the event brought together civil society, the youth, health promoters, communities, and doctors. And during the event, the youth brought out the issue about HIV and AIDS through acting and poems and singing. And because it was the theme focused squarely on adolescents and young people, then there was a lot of activities that are going on. There was free screening of HIV and AIDS from the medical and health promotion and health promoters. There were some of the leaflets about HIV and AIDS that were given for free. Children were there, and people were getting free services about what was happening and education about HIV and AIDS. And by the way, people living with HIV and AIDS also, they were there and they spoke openly about their health status, and they also empowered people. They told people through songs that it's important for you to go for medical checkup in case or if you're not comfortable about what's happening with your health.
Thanks for that, Diana, because that is very encouraging. It almost seems like it's become the norm activities to sort of tackle HIV/AIDS. Now, you talked about some of those living with the disease sharing some stories. What are some of the personal stories that stood out?
Oh, yes. Eddie, I was shocked and I was very impressed at the same time because I met a 14-year-old girl. And she talked to me and she said she was speaking freely and openly about her status. She said that she has been empowered by different organizations, including the organization by Mr. Norman over here. And now she speaks freely. She's not stigmatized anymore. And, they say that for her, it was difficult to know about her status. But she was accompanying other people while they were going for this counseling, for going for these public meetings known as public barazas. And they could hear what people are saying. And she just took a point of just like, let me just go and test. And she was found HIV positive because she's a sex worker. Now, through other organization empowering her and her own initiative, now she can speak freely. And by the way, she had her own self-testing kit, and she showed me how it's done. You know, she told me you can put blood there or oral fluid and just wait for some times at your own privacy when you're at home and read the results by yourself. And if you don't understand about that result, you can just go to any health facility and talk to the doctor and they can now explain to you. So they are happy and it's really impressive.
It is impressive. Now, about these HIV self-testing kits, I mean, is it given freely all across board? If it's sold, how much is it? Is it easily affordable by many? What can you tell us about that?
Yes, it's sold in pharmacies and chemists at a price depending 500 shillings. It ranges with the chemists. It's not given for free. But I remember long time ago while those kits were on the market, it was very difficult. You know, you could go to a pharmacist and ask someone there, like a pharmacist, can I buy this? And he or she could just look at you like, are you sure you want to buy this? You know? So, but for now, it's open. You can just buy it and go and test it. And like those days, people could not do that because first, what if you're HIV and positive? So it had that stigma part of it. But with the help of community health providers, community organizations that deal with health, with the government, now everyone, as long as you have 500 shillings, you can access, unless you can access it.
How affordable is 500 shillings to the ordinary Kenyan? Is that amount affordable for many in Kenya?
Not really. It's a bit expensive. It's a bit expensive for a common mwananchi, given that there's a lot of tax and there are so many things. The donor funding is not there. So that's a lot of money. So it's affordable for people who can at least who have jobs, but it's a bit expensive. And when you go to the public hospitals, you'll be charged for you to be given that kit if you want to do it at your own privacy at home. So it's a bit expensive.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that for us. So while the success story continues, there's still some challenges that remain, even making these self-test kits more affordable for people. But that brings me to the challenge, especially for this year. I'm going to come to you, Norman, because unfortunately this year, programs have been hit by major donor funding freezes or cuts, right? What impact has this had on the fight against the disease?
The impact has been very big, Eddie, taking into account that you must have money to access these self-test kits. But for those who attended the World AIDS Day yesterday at Likoni, they were being given free of charge. This brings me to some of the achievements that we made earlier, because self-test kits expanded access to hard-reached areas. This means that if these self-test kits are, the funds are not there, then HIV infection will go up, especially for those who cannot afford these services. Two, stigma and privacy. It reduced stigma and increased privacy because the self-test kits, you can use them at home at your own comfort. But if you cannot afford them, the program could support the community a bit by getting some of these test kits and distributing them to the community. But currently, we are hard hit. So what we are embarking on is domestic resource mobilization so that we can, it's an advocacy that is going on so that we can put our government, the duty bearers, on toes so that when they are doing budgeting, they make sure that enough funds is allocated to take care of HIV programs management. So that is what we are doing currently, and we are engaging policymakers and the committees in charge of budgets in the National Assembly as well as our county assemblies. So that's what we are doing at the moment. But it's a very big blow to the HIV programming. Thank you, Bedi.
Right, thank you for that. And is there a way around it, practically on the ground, if these donor monies are kept frozen for God knows how long? We know the impact would be big, but what is the way around it? Is there a way around it even?
Now, what we're currently doing is to engage business people if they can create a kit where they can put some donations that can support, that is the public-private partnerships. Those who own companies, we are talking to them, if they can also donate something to that kit so that there can be continuity and in management of HIV programming, since the donor funding is unreliable at the moment.
Right, and right back to you, how is that going? Do you find that there's enough support within Kenya? Because at some point, I guess, you know, Kenya would have to depend on local grown solutions, right? Is there enough appetite from the locals to really support this fight against HIV/AIDS, bearing in mind the current challenges?
The appetite is very low at the moment, but we are trying as much as possible, because in HIV we say, if you are not infected, then you are affected. So that's the language we are using, because some of the human resources that they have, if they cannot get these services, then they will not go to work. And the moment they don't go to work, then production will be low and the companies will get affected in their turnovers.
Right. So challenges remain, but you are being optimistic. Diana, knowing these challenges that are going on, Diana, how optimistic are some people that you've spoken to that things are not going to get worse in the fight against HIV/AIDS?
Yeah, people are worried. For example, Eddie, these are just a good example. For almost a year, Kenya has experienced inadequate condoms, and this is very alarming. The lady that I talked to before, she told me that they are surprised because as per now, as when they go to the public facilities, the ARVs that they were given to last for a month, now they just last for weeks. They are being counted. The tablets are counted for weeks, you know. So it's very worrying, and something should be done. Something should be done, Eddie.
Totally, something should be done. And Norman is being optimistic that, you know, locals can help tackle, although the appetite is not that great so far. But it's very important, Norman, isn't it, that Kenya does not scale back to how bad things were in the fight against HIV/AIDS, right? Because the country has come a long way. One thing I would also want you to highlight is how accessible recent drugs are in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Talking about lenacapavir, for instance, what role is the government playing in making it accessible to people in Kenya?
Thank you, Eddie. We as activists, our role is to do advocacy. And currently, that is the main battle that we are fighting at the moment. For us to get the PrEP and the PEP, because it is very important, because these are strategies of HIV and AIDS infection prevention. In the moment that we do not have these drugs available, then the infection rate is going to spike. And so many things are going to come at a standstill. So many lives are going to be lost in the process. And eventually, things are going to be worse. But let's pray that as we are discussing with Eddie will also come up with a solution to help us get out of this problem. Because Eddie is also our friend.
Well, nice way to put the spotlight on me. But I agree. I mean, it takes all hands on deck. And I believe from my part as a journalist, constantly talking about this, highlighting the progress that have been made so far, which is why it's important not to descend back to the chaotic times. I think that should be hopefully enough for authorities to listen to us and realize that that is not an option to get back to how bad things were. And Kenya for many, many years now has been a shining light in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Which brings me to the question as we wrap things up, Norman. What can other countries learn from how Kenya has been facing this battle against HIV/AIDS?
Thank you, Eddie. Now, there are so many lessons that other countries can learn from Kenya, because looking at the infection rate, when we compare infection rate for last year, 2024 and 2025, there is a reduction in the infection rate. Even for our county, Mombasa, we were at 5.3, and currently we are at 4.4. That means there is a reduction in infection rate. Now, for us to sustain this, we must work hard. And lessons that other countries can learn from Kenya is the strategies that Kenya used. because initially Kenya had so many cases of the infection rate was high, but currently is going down. Just the strategies that Kenya developed, that initiated the programs that make us enjoy this the current status, the early adoption of test and treat policies. If they can adopt that, then that will be okay. And then scaling up of community-based HIV testing. These are lessons that other countries can learn from the Kenya. If they have not done then they can copy this from us and can help them improve in their programs. And then integration of HIV services with primary healthcare. We have community health volunteers all over the world. So if it is integrated in the primary healthcare in all the countries in the world, I think this will help improve HIV programming in other countries. And as a result, there will be a reduction in HIV infection in those respective countries.
Right. Thank you very much, Norman. Very strong words there on what many countries, many African countries, can learn from Kenya. Also regarding digital health tools, community-led responses, and all the others that you've mentioned. Diana, you have the final words to wrap this up.
Yeah, I think it's time for Africans, and as an African, for Africans to stand by ourselves. We need to have big policies. We need to make our own drugs. We are able. We are capable. We can make our own drugs and stop relying on these foreign drugs. And we have materials. We have doctors. We have researchers. We can do this as Africans, and we can reduce and fight HIV and AIDS and be HIV and AIDS free countries in the continent.
Very strong Pan-African words from you, Diana, and I'm sure Norman was smiling as a result of that. Thank you for wrapping things up with that. Norman Otieno, CEO of Hope Mega Center in Mombasa, Kenya. That's an organization offering guidance and counseling to people living with HIV/AIDS. You also heard the lovely voice and input of Diana Wanyonyi, DW correspondent in Kenya. Thank you both for your contributions. One big challenge in the fight against HIV is the shortage of condoms. Sex workers and young people in Kenya are calling for action so they can stay protected, especially when other options aren't affordable.
It's becoming an issue because the infection of HIV and AIDS is spreading widely than usual and than before. So you'll find that many people have no way to protect themselves. I think we'll definitely see a surge of such cases. And I think what the government should do is to actually provide subsidy for such products, the condom and other preventive materials, measures, products, so that we can be able to contain HIV and AIDS.
Condoms used to help a lot. Remember the early days, I can say, is it 4 or 5 years back? We could have these things in hospitals, and it would be some of these products could be brought in schools, yeah, for free. Nowadays, you find that you have to buy them, and they are very expensive. There are no jobs that these young lads can get the money and buy them.
Kenya's fight against HIV is far from over, but every counselor, every community group, and every message sent to keep someone in care shows a simple truth. When innovation meets human connection, progress is not just possible. It's already happening. What do you think? Share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for minds.